insightful analysis, bold comments, friendly debates. Find all that on Roundtable, an in-depth discussion on hot topics in China, only on EZFM.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Roundtable, coming to you from EZFM every day from 1 to 2 p.m. I'm your host, He Yang, joined by a good friend of the show, Mr. Nick Lanigan.
Hello.
Hello. And my pal, Liu Yan.
Yay.
In the studio.
Again.
Yes, and it's wonderful to have you in the studio when I am here. And I have to say, when I was sick last week, it was a great delight to listen to Liu Yan host the show. And thank you for stepping in those, you know, emergency situations. And it was just so much fun listening to him guide the discussion. And I've heard some very interesting insights from the bottom of Liu Yan's heart, and I just couldn't believe that he said those words, such as...
Oh, goodness, what did I say?
Yeah, Liu Yan, I think I know you pretty well, but obviously I don't, because he said at some point that sex is a really good sport, and I was like, wow.
I said for most people.
No, I don't recall that part, but I have to say that that line was very relevant for that discussion. So, you know, if you want to figure out why someone like Liu Yan would say that, you should check out that day's show, which was last
Friday.
Friday. Yeah, last Friday. You can check that out.
Oh, you're such a good salesperson.
Am I?
Yes, you are.
Oh, thank you. A little pat on the shoulder. Good as always to have you with us, our dear listener. We have some fascinating topics for discussion today and every day. Coming up on a Virgin Airlines flight from London to Shanghai, a Chinese woman has claimed a white man called her racist names and the airline failed to give an acceptable response. What really happened on that flight? And I kind of smell racism in the air. And we know that AlphaGo beat one of the brightest human minds in playing the ancient Chinese chess game Go. It set people worrying about our jobs may be taken over by robots soon. Will robots take over the world? We always want to hear from you and have you join our live discussion. Come and find us on WeChat. Just search for EZFM Roundtable. And another reason to add us on WeChat is now you can use the platform to send us bullet comments during the live show. Not only can you interact with us, but also with other listeners. All you need to do is click on the icon called Banmu View at the bottom right corner of our WeChat home interface. Come and play with us. Or find us through these conventional channels. You can leave us your thoughts and see in a Weibo. Just key in Qifenghepian Roundtable. If you're a podcast listener, we're Roundtable Yuanzhuhui there. You know the drill. But first, a Chinese woman has claimed a Caucasian man or a white man has called her racist names on a Virgin Atlantic flight, and the airline failed to give an acceptable response. The Facebook accounts of the airline company and its founder, Richard Branson, have been inundated with thousands of comments left by angry Chinese internet users. Also, it is one of the most discussed topics in Chinese media since the past weekend. Guys, what's going on here and what really happened on that flight?
Well, according to the accounts from the passenger, which is the Chinese woman in question on the flight, she said that on March the 1st, she boarded the Virgin flight VS250 from London to Shanghai, and during the flight, she experienced racist language from the white male passenger, as you said, and the man was very hostile towards her, and she argued back and tried to defend herself because he'd started this tirade without any kind of provocation from her, but she wasn't able to resolve the situation by herself. And the main cause of her complaint to the airline is that she says that the flight attendants and the staff on the flight didn't do anything to help her in the situation and just left her to deal with it herself.
Yeah, I would definitely understand her anger, because apparently that white man said something like, "U.F. Chinese pig." you know, get the F out of here. So
oh,
that was severe language.
Mm.
Anybody in their right mind would be extremely offended by it. And the thing is, I think Nick mentioned the keyword. That whole thing was just unprovoked. She didn't do anything to offend that white man in the first place. She was, I believe, just trying to go to that specific area because it was not a crowded flight and there were a lot of empty seats. So she was trying to find another, you know, seat that was probably more comfortable. So she was just trying to do that and didn't have anything to do with that white man specifically. But that white man just started saying these things. So, of course, she would be extremely angry. And then on top of that, when she told her experience to the flight attendants, not just one, but several, and they didn't do anything. They said, at the very least, you know, that crazy white dude was going to move to another area so that, you know, she wouldn't have to see him again or something like that. But then half an hour passed, that man was still sitting in that original seat. So even this could not be changed. Of course, she was very angry.
Yeah, and it sounds like the flight attendant didn't do very much and didn't really do much to quiet her anger or, you know, really resolve the situation. But that is all according to the reports in Chinese. And according to this lady, this Chinese lady, I think she sounds like she was the victim in this situation. But as with so many of these stories online, sometimes it's the way it's traveled. Of course, it's fast, and lots of people get angry without knowing more of the detailed things that actually happened. So, guys, do we have other accounts to sort of give us a fuller picture of what really happened?
Well, obviously, the flight, the company did make their investigation into it, and as part of that, they wanted to speak to the other people who were on the flight, because obviously this is the only group of people that witnessed the incident and are able to help them. So at least three Chinese passengers who were witnesses to the incident backed up what the Chinese woman, the victim in the situation, had said, and they agreed that she was verbally abused and that the attendant refused to change anybody's seat so that they weren't able to, you know, be separated from one another and had to remain in the same area for the rest of the flight. However, a foreign female witness, writing on an English website, said that, in fact, it was more two-sided. The two passengers were arguing with each other rather than one kind of attacking the other, and that the attendant was, you know, quite robust towards both of them and said, you know, you both need to stop this and I'm not going to move either of you. And she seemed to think that the attendant's behavior was more justified.
Yeah, I think this version is actually kind of believable because, as I said, the keyword is unprovoked. If this Chinese woman did absolutely nothing to provoke that white dude, then I don't see how this thing could become so out of control. So I do believe she at least fought back and fought back very ferociously.
Mm-hmm.
However, no matter what happened, I think you should never call someone, you know, a Chinese pig and get the F out of here. So even if she did say something bad in the first place that provoked his anger, his language was way out of line.
Yeah, and you should just never call anyone racial names according to their skin color or religious belief or any of those associations.
Mm.
I think that is sort of the bottom line that any civilized and educated person should know. And also, I think these days, with more and more Chinese people traveling abroad and racial issues not being a very salient problem at home, as the majority of Chinese people are just Han Chinese, we don't grow up in a multicultural environment. And I think dealing with these kind of situations is kind of alien to a lot of us as well. So, I mean, that being said, do you think that the way the airline has dealt with the situation on the flight and also afterwards has been a little bit problematic, as there are a whole bunch of Chinese internet users that have left messages on Facebook and making sure that the world sees that Chinese passengers, Chinese people, are not happy about the situation?
I think it's a difficult one because, you know, obviously people are very angry about this, and they've got every right to be angry, as you've said, but, you know, the vast majority of people writing these posts online weren't on the flight, and they didn't see or hear anything. They're just repeating what they've already, you know, seen or read themselves. And the airline can't just, you know, start giving out, you know, freebies or apologies to the people involved just because people online are angry about it.
Oh, why can't they give out freebies?
Well, exactly. I mean, I could go online now and say, I'm so angry about something that happened yesterday and I wasn't on the flight, but, you know, I demand that you compensate me for it. But, you know, they'd be going out of business in a week's time, wouldn't they? So I think they have to have their own investigation and, you know, they seem to have done that. We've spoken to the people who were on the flight. But again, the problem is that in these kinds of situations, people don't notice what's going on until it's already started to escalate and no one really saw how it began in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good point. So as far as investigation goes, I think it's absolutely necessary. And until you have a very clear picture of how the whole thing went down, it's just not wise for the company to apologize and say, oh, we did something wrong. So yeah. I think they should definitely wait. That being said, I do think a lot of Chinese netizens are angry for a different reason. See, Richard Branson, who is the CEO of Virgin Airlines, he was actually still posting like chicken soup for the soul kind of BS on his on his Twitter account while this was happening. So a lot of people already made sure he saw they were angry and this incident was getting out of control. He was still posting that. It was much later that when the whole thing obviously was not within his control, and then he finally acknowledged, okay, this happened. We know that this has happened and we are investigating. Mm-hmm. So if he said early on that something serious has happened and we take it very seriously, and probably a lot fewer people would be this angry.
That's a good point. But I think maybe it just shows that he's pretty slow in response to what's going on. And to be honest, Richard Branson probably has a full plate of stuff to do. And, you know, what was going on here was something that I don't think anybody in his company or himself were, predicted that it was going to escalate into today's level, into such a heated problem that many Chinese passengers, including myself, I'm going to reconsider if I'm going to ever fly Virgin again. And to be honest, I mean, they're not really that big in the Chinese market yet. And okay, I tend to reveal too much about my own perception sometimes. Sorry about that. But, you know, is this going to be good at all, or, you know, for them to have a footing in the Chinese market? This is a huge market that everybody wants a bite of right now.
Yes, that is very, very true. And I think as they branch out into more markets, they do really need to be careful about things like this. And they already said in one of their statements, you know, we're a huge multinational company and we don't, you know, tolerate any kind of racism because we have customers and indeed staff from all areas of the world, all different races and, you know, religions and walks of life. But I think it's maybe a lack of awareness on the part of the top management at Virgin of how powerful the Chinese internet community can be. I mean, like all of these things that happen on the internet in China and become, you know, blow way out of proportion. They probably just didn't expect anything like this
to
happen.
It's a nuclear war on the internet, and it's so interesting how it's been blown up as well.
Yeah. Well, Claire, earlier you mentioned a very interesting point that Richard Branson is a very busy guy. He probably had a lot on his plate. I think, you know what, yes and no. Mm-hmm. Yes, because he was indeed a big deal and he had to deal with a lot of things. So it probably would have been more feasible for, say, Virgin staffers to respond to all those angry, right, to respond to all those angry comments instead of him personally responding. However, you are in the service industry, and it is your job to make sure people are satisfied with your service, because at the end of the day, it's your name, it's your brand out there. And if you don't do this well, then you should take those, you should suffer because of it. So even if you are busy, there's no excuse for you to, at the same time, have the time to post Chicken Soup for the Soul, yes, and also...
That really bugs you.
And also say you're too busy, so you don't have time to deal with this kind of thing.
Yeah, it sounds like PR, public relations, just disaster for the company, and I think you are very correct in pointing that out, Liu Yan. I think with, especially if this company wants to expand in the Chinese market, I think now it's repair work that they need to do. And this kind of news is very, very damaging for a brand. And I guess another question I want to ask you guys is, like I said earlier, now a lot of Chinese people are traveling, and more Chinese people are studying and living abroad and all that going on in the background. How should you deal with maybe a racial kind of situation like such that's very hostile, confrontation going on right in front of you, directed at you? What should you do? How do you respond? Oh, yeah, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. Actually, I think that's a very difficult question, because if I were in her shoes, and someone just out of nowhere and threw all those F-bombs at me, I would probably be overwhelmed as well.
Yeah.
And for a minute didn't know what to say, because I was so shocked.
Uh-huh.
So actually my advice would be quite unexpected. I would suggest that everybody should at least, you know, make sure they speak very good English so that they know how to communicate with people. Because if I am correct in my guessing, there was probably some form of misunderstanding, miscommunication going on there. Because according to that witness from Shanghaiist, obviously that flight attendant didn't completely understand the situation, and she or he did try to get both sides to, you know, quiet down. Otherwise, you would be, you know, sent off the plane or something like that. And because something was lost in the communication, that Chinese person felt like nothing was done to calm her down. So that could be one of the problems why it escalated.
That is a good point. And also, what happened exactly is kind of hard for us to pinpoint right now. Also, I mean, there is the language barrier, and there is the cultural barrier, too. And I think, just speculating, the reason why this woman, a Chinese lady, got so angry was that she felt that white Caucasian man is at fault in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And why should she get reprimanded too? And got, because, you know,
exactly.
The flight attendant came in later, like, you know, probably after the first part of the story has already happened.
Exactly.
And
but she wasn't able to explain it clearly.
Yeah.
So, as the flight attendant, obviously, both were very loud and both
yeah.
were acting hostile.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, he or she would say, you two both quiet down, otherwise you would be kicked out of the plane or something to that effect.
Mm. I think you've hit the nail on the head with the problem here is it takes a lot of effort and a waste of everybody's time to kick someone off a plane once it's already, you know, up in the air. So you can't just, you know, throw them out. I think in many situations it's okay, you know, to get in an argument with someone over if they come at you with kind of racial abuse. But in a plane, it's a very enclosed environment. If that this person, you know, obviously is a bit, I don't want to say crazy, but has some very odd ideas, and if they are then going to turn violent, you can't, you know, get away that easily. And maybe she felt that the flight attendant should have really done more to intervene in the situation, whereas if she had been somewhere more comfortable, she could have got out of it by herself.
Yeah.
And again, just speculating, but it's an interesting concept that, you know, it would escalate to that extent that she would have to, or the pilot would have to, you know, land, make an emergency landing and get one of them off the plane.
That would really make news, even to, you know, maybe higher levels immediately, pretty much. So I think you guys have pretty much covered every angle.
Oh, there's one more angle that we haven't touched upon.
What is that?
Some people are actually saying that they do not like seeing the way Chinese people acted towards this whole thing. Obviously, they went to Virgin's Facebook and bombarded them with all those nasty comments, and they say this is kind of like mob mentality. Well, I beg to differ. I do think when you are faced with this kind of situation, you need to, at the very least, raise your voice and let people know that under no circumstances is it okay for anyone to call you a Chinese pig and get the F out of here.
Oh,
that said, I also agree that it's meaningless to copy and paste the same thing over and over and over again. Once you make your point, just let it go and wait for somebody to do something.
Also, I think that's really interesting how some of the Chinese internet users responded to this story. Not only was the original post, I can't remember whether it was looked at, viewed, or commented, after like 2 weeks, it was like 5 million. I can't remember if it was the views or the comments. And anyway, it became a huge deal online as we're talking about it right now. But the way that other people responded, especially on Facebook, if you're just repeatedly copying and pasting those very funny memes in Chinese, but for a person alien to the Chinese
culture,
internet culture, would think this is rubbish.
Yeah.
And this is crude, and this looks horrible on Chinese people.
Exactly. They also made some very interesting tips just to annoy Virgin, and that probably adds fuel to the fire.
Yeah, and it's like a little bit barbaric, our dear Chinese internet users, for, I mean, using maybe this is the tool that they think is most effective, but in a different culture. And I know the internet, we're supposed to be one, but it's still a different culture.
Right.
In the English internet world, it just looks pretty bad. But if you can articulate yourself fluently in good English or readable English on their Facebook page, it might look a little bit better on us, maybe.
Right. That being said, some Chinese people did that out of pure motivation. Their pure motivation was just to, revenge.
Or annoy people.
Yeah. Because, the Virgin people also repeatedly copied and pasted their response. And everything was like, we already know this happened. We are investigating. So it's not like they made any effort to, show more sincerity. So a lot of Chinese people did that just to irk them.
I think that's just a vicious circle, though.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Obviously, they have this policy where they have to reply to every comment, and they don't have time to sit and write a reply to each one of the same comment in Chinese. So they think if everyone's going to copy and paste
right.
it, we'll copy and paste the reply.
Yes, vicious cycle is a good way to sum it up, Nick. And I mean, for these, I think for the moral of this story, that the takeaway here is actually what Liu has said a bit earlier. That is, you need to know English. You need to have good English skills and ability. Because not only will you be able to search the internet using English and you'll see the other side of the story, as I've did my research prior to the show, and I found that in the Chinese media, reports in Chinese all told the same story, and that was on the Chinese lady's account. And as much as maybe she is the victim here, you need to know the full story to come to your own rational conclusion. And that's very much needed these days, online and sometimes offline too. That's my opinion. You're listening to Roundtable. That was just our first half of the discussion. Coming up next, we will talk about, well, AlphaGo beat one of the brightest human minds in playing the ancient Chinese chess game Go, and it set people worrying about our job perspectives. So what is going to happen in the future with artificial intelligence? Roundtable will give you our own prediction, and we'll find out more on that story. Stay with us.
Informed opinion and heated debate. Find out what's got China talking on our Roundtable discussion, only on Easy FM.
You're listening to Roundtable with me, He Yang, joined by Nick Lanigan and Liu Yan. Coming up next, we know AlphaGo beat one of the brightest human minds in playing the ancient Chinese chess game Go. It's some people worrying about our jobs may be taken over by robots soon. What is the future for artificial intelligence? And some rural folk pointed out the 10 silly things that city dwellers do. The list includes things such as when your dog sneezes, you rush to a pet hospital with it, but have no idea of the health condition of your parents. And another one is driving to a gym for a workout, amongst other things. Are city people mad? We always want to hear from you and have you join our live discussion. Come and find us on WeChat as we are, EZFM Roundtable, or find us on Sina Weibo. Just search for Qingkong Health News Roundtable. Our podcast listeners can find us at Roundtable Yuan Zhuohui there. Now, a roundtable. AlphaGo's win over one of the world's best Go players has got us wondering about which direction artificial intelligence is heading. Will robots beat humans in areas beyond playing an ancient chess game, or have they already done so? IT industry heavyweights Jack Ma, Lei Jun, and Mark Zuckerberg have offered their views on the prospects of artificial intelligence at the China Development Forum in Beijing just a couple of days ago. So guys, where are we at right now in terms of artificial intelligence development right now?
Well, in terms of the story you just mentioned, we're talking about the computer program AlphaGo, which plays the game Go, and it played the game a best of five series against the Grandmaster Lee Sedol from South Korea, who is one of the best player of the game in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the machine won 4-1 in the final match of the best of
five. One victory from the human side! One victory!
4-1, it's not a great stat for the human side, is it? So the AlphaGo program has the capacity of learning for itself and learning new strategies as the game goes on. So even if you begin by beating it, it can learn how you play, learn, you know, your moves, the way you think as a player, and develop strategies to beat you. I'm sorry, I'm just repeating the facts.
Your very words have set, you know, chills up my spine. Liu Yan, how do you feel about the situation?
Okay, this is really quite scary, I have to say, because, as Nick mentioned, the victory was actually 4-1, but because it was 3 out of 5, best of 5, so as long as you win 3, then you already nailed the final victory. And as it turned out, AlphaGo won 3 in a row. So some people were speculating that, you know, AlphaGo actually threw one game in there just to make humans look better. And because he happened to lose the 4th one, you know, the one after 3 in a row, I do also believe that it was possible. He kind of just threw that away. And now that you already have one on the scoreboard and the final one, I can play my according to my real ability again. So he won the 5th one again.
And
it was 4-1.
Again, you scared me a second time as the way you referred to Mr. Robot AlphaGo. He used he. As if he's a real person.
I know, but you know, some things you just can't deny, because as far as AI is concerned, AI defeated human a long time ago when it came to chess, and apparently a lot of people are saying Go is like the last safe place, because Go is so much more complicated and needs so much more human factors, human thinking. But now the last plays is also
the last draw of the world of chess.
Yeah,
right?
It's also gone, so it should be very scary. We should be worried.
Yeah, and I think, Nick, you make the really good point that because the robot can learn, it can learn! Oh my gosh! So, you know, can we say that we don't necessarily know, like, where the robot is going to arrive at, since it's like a person in the sense that it can learn things, and there's sort of like the cognitive activity going on. Is it fair to say it this way?
I think it's not quite. I think it can
learn.
It can learn, it develops strategies. When it does something wrong, it can learn from that, and it can learn how not to do that thing wrong again the next time, but that doesn't then mean that it can apply that knowledge to anything outside the realms of the game, necessarily.
Thank you very much.
I've also heard it said that although Go is a big advancement from chess, it's a much more complicated game for, well, a human as well as a machine to learn how to play. Other games where there's kind of a hidden aspect, like poker, for example, is going to be another kind of milestone if the artificial intelligence learns how to do that, because in Go, although it's very complicated, you know, all your pieces are out on the table and both players can see them, so it can learn those kinds of strategies, whereas if there was a more hidden element where you have to kind of read another person, the opposite player, it maybe isn't quite there yet.
That's a really good point, because if you don't see everything on the table, then you have to rely on watching someone's facial expressions, for example, and trying to figure out what he or she is exactly thinking. And since this was not involved at this stage, it's relatively easy for the machine to be the people, because the machine doesn't have to do all that. And also, I know we have been painting a very scary picture thus far, but if you don't want to be scared, you can just think this way, because at the end of the day, AlphaGo is still just a computer program, and who designs that program? Humans. So computer programs cannot do something that's that human, if you don't put it into the program, then they certainly cannot do that. So as long as you don't put it in the program for them to be so awesome, so intelligent, they probably won't be so awesome, so intelligent.
Okay, well, you make a really good point, and also, if we have a direct, firm answer that we can control the robots in the way they so-called think and develop, that they're always in the control of the hands of humans, then I wouldn't be so scared. But the reason why people like myself who don't know very much about technology and is very happy to sleep in my cave without any, you know, advanced technology at my hand. I'm happy to live like that, all right? We are scared because we don't know where this is going. Guys, what did the tycoon say? And where is this going?
Well, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook said that he predicted there'll be more big advances for artificial intelligence in just the next decade, so we're not quite finished yet in terms of the development. He said, artificial intelligence will understand the senses such as vision and hearing and grasp language better than human beings over the next 5 to 10 years. And he highlighted the company Oculus VR, saying that it's going to start producing its products, its virtual reality products, and it could generate $110 billion by 2025. So it's big business as well, artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Lei Jun, who is the founder of Xiaomi, also seems very optimistic, and he says he expects AI to be able to beat a human champion at the current stage of development, since it's a pretty complicated game. And he also said that now that we already see AlphaGo beat human beings, you can expect that this will attract more capital and talent to the AI sector. So obviously, it will be more developed even in the future.
One for you, He-Yang. Jack Ma says, there's no need for human beings to fear the machines. He says, machines will be stronger and smarter than human beings, but they will never be wiser, because wisdom, soul, and heart are things that only human beings possess. Isn't that beautiful?
That is beautiful, but, you know, the cynic in me says, Mr. Jack Ma, it doesn't sound like you know that much about AI. Sorry to say this, but, you know, he's saying, okay, wisdom, fine, soul, fine, heart, fine, these are great concepts, but if, you know, if this robot is so clever, and if you can't control it, okay, this is, you know, all presumptions, right, then wisdom means nothing. Right? If it can surpass you in other ways and can terminate you, you know. That's not going to happen, everybody. I'm not going to send scares, you know, spread that. But so I think.
But I do think your worry is kind of valid. I don't know if you guys have seen the film Her from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson was just a computer program.
Oh, excuse me.
But a
going
guy.
In the wrong direction.
a guy played by Joaquin Phoenix,
is
totally able to be attracted just to a computer program because she has possessed all those qualities. She has heart, she has soul, and she has intelligent wisdom. So it is possible. And also, last year, there was this film called Ex Machina. I don't know if you have seen that. That one is even scarier because in that one, robots actually were so clever and so manipulative, they eventually killed humans.
And like so many other Hollywood films, they play with our insecurity and anxiety in this area because we don't know what's going to happen in the future and if we are being colonized by robots, that kind of thing. And I mean, here on WeChat, our listener Lin Yingdong says, "I want a robot companion." I mean, girl, why? I'd be scared. And like Japanese people are known for this. They've got a whole bunch of like robot pet dogs, robot companions, and how could like human emotion be replaced in that regard? I mean, I don't know what's going on here.
No, it is a definite area that you can easily see why people are scared. I think the more we have this conversation, the more I'm falling into that camp as well, I think. But it's an interesting one that someone said they would like a robot companion.
I mean,
what kind of companionship? Are we just someone just to sit in your house and like to talk to? Can it talk back?
This might be off topic, but you know what this reminds me? It just totally reminds me of the Da Bai character from Big Hero. Yeah, Baymax from Big Hero 6. Maybe she was thinking about a robot companion like that. That would be adorable. I would want one like that as well.
Okay, well, all right, well, I'm happy to be your friend, Lillian, all right?
A human being.
Yeah, like your blood and flesh, real person.
Yeah, that would be the best. However, a robot could be very cuddly, which not necessarily, you know, human beings can do.
What?
I think a robot is cuddlier than a human being.
No,
I'm thinking about Baymax in particular.
Okay, yeah. Baymax is cute.
Yeah.
But yes, I think the ultimate worry for people is whether this technology can be controlled by people. And, I mean, scientists out there, that must be the bottom line that I think is really needed here. And just quickly, before we go on to the next topic, guys, a lot of people are saying that so many jobs are just going to be taken over by robots. And I think a couple of months ago on this show, we talked about that even some of the news stories, but news stories, all right, only reporting news without much of a human touch.
Mm.
Those kind of stories have been written by robot journalists.
We can
call them that.
We're still safe for now.
Are we? So, what are the jobs that you think are just going to disappear from the landscape, from the job market for humans, and how can we deal with the situation?
Well, I think if a job requires a lot of data or to be processed or a great deal of routine to be repeated, then this job probably will be taken over by robots because it's relatively easy. However, if this job requires a lot of creative input, for example, if you are an artist, I don't think that would be easily replaceable by any robots anytime soon. So it really depends on the quality or the specific requirements of the job.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of job where you perform a repetitive kind of continuous action throughout the day and it doesn't change that much is something that a robot can probably do better in a lot of cases because they're so, you know, quick and efficient, and also you don't have to pay them. So
yeah, so you don't need to pay for them, but you need to charge the battery, probably keep them connected to electronic sockets and those kind of things. And our WeChat listener Jesse has something pretty smart to say regarding this topic. She says the post about the list of jobs that will easily be replaced in the future by robots has gone viral on WeChat right now, and like accountants, security guards, cleaning jobs, and delivering jobs, these things might have no place for humans in the future. But what distinguishes us from robots is that we, as human beings, are able to feel stuff. We are not emotionless. So she holds this slightly positive view that is, although, you know, so there's still a place for humans, and as long as humans are in the control position, but it's going to be hard to defend that position if the technology is that advanced, I think. And I think it's one of those high grounds we have to guard as humans. And she said, just like what Liu Yan has mentioned earlier, that the movie Her scared her in a way. And and that's her insight on this topic. And I think it's
Jesse has made some very interesting points. In particular, I love the fact that she mentioned, this might be the future, but as long as humans have the emotion, I believe at the end of the day, we still have the upper hand. And I personally believe that AlphaGo was able to beat the Go player because the Go game does not involve any emotions.
Yeah, and for the real world and so many other areas, it's not so clean-cut. It's not black and white like in the game Go. And that's going to be a lot more difficult for a robot to operate. Okay, and the gentlemen in front of me are nodding along, so I'm like, oh, I feel safe right now. I'm glad that we're safe almost right now. So, you know, everybody be aware of that situation. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Young, Liu Yan, and Nick Lanigan. Coming up next, rural folks pinpoint 10 silly things that city dwellers do. This list includes driving to a gym for a workout to lose some weight, amongst other things. Are city people mad? I'd like you to answer that question. We'll be back after this short break.
Roundtable. Connect the dots. Paint the picture. Debate the big issues. Every day from 1 to 2 p.m. on Easy FM.
You're listening to Roundtable. An online post has pointed out 10 silly things that city dwellers do, but rural folks just think, these people are out of their minds. What are these things, and why is it so hard for rural folks to comprehend? Guys, what's on this list that applies to you, and maybe explain a little bit to us why there is this discrepancy.
Well, one of the things that you already mentioned was the going to the gym in the city.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah, you said that people who, you know, drive their car, take the elevator to the gym in a high-rise building, and then go running on a treadmill. It doesn't quite apply to me. I don't drive, but I do go to an indoor gym, and I think in a big city, that's one of the nicest ways to exercise, because you go running outside, there's traffic, there's people everywhere, it's polluted.
Mm.
It's very difficult. You know, you're constantly dodging people left, right, and center. Everybody conspires to be in your way at exactly the wrong time, and you're just thinking, I'm going to give up, and sometimes running inside is better. I think if you live in a rural area, probably running outside is very nice, but I'd be much more inclined to do it.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. So I think whoever made that list, especially at this point, probably didn't think, you know, the air in urban places usually tend to be worse, so that people do not feel like they want to actually stay outdoors and do exercises. So maybe hitting the gym is the best possible solution there. That said, I'm very glad that it doesn't apply to me at all, because I don't go to gyms. I always power walk, so I walk in nature. When it gets really smoggy, sometimes I just put on my facial mask and still walk.
Well, you're a very brave and athletic guy, Liu Yan.
Yeah, you could say that. That's how I lost so many pounds and managed to keep this way.
Yes, and Liu Yan looks great. You know, not only has he got a very slender frame figure, and also, you know, you're not one of those sickly thin people, and that's really important. And you know what Liu Yan does when he's power walking, you know, when he's maintaining such a great figure? What did you do, Liu Yan?
I listen to Roundtable. That's totally true, and that's not tooting our own horn. because I power walk usually for, you know, close to 50 minutes every day. That's exactly the length of an episode of Roundtable.
Yeah, so our listeners out there, I know a lot of you have very healthy habits, lifestyle, like you work out. To listen to music. What do you learn from that? Listen to Roundtable when you're doing that. Yeah, Nick, what did you want to say?
No, I was just laughing.
Seamless product placement.
Mm. Well, there you go. There you go. And when you guys are talking about, like, some of the rural folks, maybe why they don't think that, you know, driving to a gym and workout is a good idea or that's just absurd, is also, I think, a couple of days ago, one of our WeChat listeners left us this message, but I'm sorry, I can't find your name right now, but he said that in rural areas, people probably, they need to plow the fields. They need to do so much, like, field work and farm work. They don't need to go to the gym. Probably going to the gym and working out itself is just absurd, and they think, you know, these people must be mad having to designate a special length of time and driving to that place just to get some exercise. And I think that's a really valid point, too. So what else do you think is a bit weird that has been in the eyes of some of the rural folks?
I think one of the things that you mentioned before was some people really treat their puppies maybe too seriously. The minute they get sick, they immediately take them to hospitals and treat them as if they were the most important people in the world. When their parents get sick, they probably don't even know. So I think that's actually kind of ironic and also true on a lot of people.
Yeah, does that mean that we're a bit too lonely, that, you know, having a little creature that is there for you to cuddle every day, I mean, that replaces the position of a real human being?
Mm.
Think?
Yeah, funny you had a robot, huh?
Thinking about that too, Nick.
No, I think some people are very, very attached to their pets. Let me run this past you. A couple of weeks ago, I was out in the street, and a woman walked past me with her dog, and the dog, I noticed, was making a kind of strange sound as it walked, and then when it went past me, I noticed that it was wearing four tiny baby shoes on its feet.
Oh.
Is that normal?
I've seen that, and I find it a slightly difficult to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Chinese people, you know, we always take off shoes at home, so, you know, maybe
the dog does too.
Yeah. That's one other thing that I really don't understand. A lot of Chinese people, and also foreigners, apparently treat their pets as if they are real human beings that need clothing. So I don't really get the logic in there. I thought, you know, animals should just wear their natural fur and that should be enough. No human clothes necessary, but that's just me.
Yeah, and what about on this list? And there is this other entry that is having 200, 300 phone contacts in your cell phone, but none of them is your neighbor's number, that you don't know your neighbor. What do you think of that one? Is that weird?
It's maybe weird, but it's very common, I think.
In the UK too?
I'd say so, yeah. I mean, especially if you live in like a high-rise building, I think you don't see the people around you. You know, you're all in your own little space. You come and go at different times, and you just sadly never interact with each other. And it's not a good thing, because obviously your neighbours are right there. If you have some kind of emergency, it would be great if there were someone you could call on for help. But it's sadly just not something that we seem to do anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. But I think it's understandable, because in China, when you live in complexes, usually we have this thing called wuye. So sometimes if you cannot find your neighbours, you just go to wuye. So that already solves all your problems. And it's kind of not necessary for you to have the neighbours' numbers.
All right. Well, before we go, one last question for you guys. Do you think that this differentiation between so-called urban and rural is all that relevant anymore?
Relevant, probably. It's probably not that helpful. I think it's, you know, creating a divide where there doesn't need to be one, and it's probably on its way out.
Yeah, and I think with this kind of division, it's not very helpful in the sense that so many of the rural population have migrated to the cities. Some of them stay in the city and become city dwellers, and some go back home. So it's a complicated situation. That's all for today. Bye!